Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio program. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is Be Confident in Him. What we're going to talk about tonight is how to be confident in the Lord for what's coming in the end times, okay? I have gotten many emails from people who have, you know, listened to the different shows and of course, read the Word and know some of the really bad things that are coming in these end times. And I realize, and because I'm human too, I realize that many of you are very afraid and very anxious about what is coming. And that's normal. That's a human reaction, okay? I totally understand that, being who I am. So I want to talk tonight about how you can be more confident in the Lord about what's coming, all right? Now, we know because the Lord has told us that the people who will be here for the great tribulation are the people who have refused to be refined. Refining is basically sanctification. It's when you learn to put down the fleshly part of your life in favor of the spiritual part of your life. If God asks you to give up this or give up that, if you refuse Him or you just reject, you know, let's say that back when I first got saved, y'all, I smoked a pack and a half a day, okay, of cigarettes. And about a year into my walk, one night the Lord just basically tells me He wants me to stop smoking. I was like, I don't want to, you know, I gave everything else up. And so I kind of ignored Him at first. And then one night He goes, tonight. And it was like, I could feel Him pointing at the cigarette. And I was like, really? I said, I just bought a carton, you know, like He didn't know that, in which I had just bought one. That was back when cigarettes were like, I don't know, $20 a carton or something. So I obeyed because I don't really believe in arguing with the Lord. I don't think it gets you anywhere. And the difference in submitting to refining and not submitting to refining is when you submit to refining, you do what He says, no matter how bad you don't want to do it, okay? When the Lord tells me to pick up and move somewhere, I don't ask a lot of questions. I just go, okay, and I start packing. There will never come a day when I think I know better than God does. And there will never come a day when I think I'm smarter than God is. When you do those things, you're making yourself God instead of Him. And that will get you in a really bad situation. So we want to submit. If He is leading you to give up a bad habit or leading you to give up a relationship or whatever, you need to just do it. If you don't submit when He's trying to sanctify you, get the bad stuff out, get the sin out of your life, and get you in line with His will, then what will happen is you will be here for the great tribulation and all the horrors, the asteroids hitting the earth, you know, and the sun going out and all that. I'm thinking when the sun goes out, it's going to get mighty cold down here on earth. I don't want to know how cold. So I think people who do submit to the refining and try their best to do what God wants them to do in their normal everyday walk and as far as whatever He's having you to submit to or where He wants you to live or whatever He wants you to give up, if you're doing that, I don't think you'll be here when the tribulation starts because He keeps giving me that He's going to take a bunch of people out before all that. Now, I don't want to call it a rapture because I don't know if it's a one-time event or if He's going to take them out in different ways along the way. I don't really know how that's going to work. And I've never been a person who studied the rapture. I think there's some precedent for it. The Lord got Lot out of, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah before He blew it up. He got Noah and his family onto the ark before He, you know, washed everything on the earth clean. So, I mean, there's precedent, I think, in that regard. But we don't know exactly how everything in the end times is going to play out. We have the Word, and then we have, you know, whatever He shows us or tells us. But we don't know exactly or in what order everything's going to happen. I think some of it is open to interpretation. I think we will be better off if we spend more time in prayer and in the Word and submitting to Him rather than being afraid. Okay, so I want to talk about some areas of the word that will help you. Okay, and these will also help you now, by the way. We have talked before about Psalm 91, and I wish that I had more revelation on every line of Psalm 91. I don't. I have revelation on probably one line of it. He shall cover me with his feathers. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings will you trust. Something really horrible happened in 1996, and I had been saved maybe a month when it happened. I was at home in my apartment in Chickasha, Oklahoma, and I got some horrible, horrible, some of the worst news I could have possibly gotten, and I was devastated. And I went and I laid down on my bed, and I just prayed because I didn't know what else to do, and I didn't even really know how to pray. I just knew how to talk to God. So I laid down on my bed, and I just started talking to God, and I was like, I don't even know how to, you know, how to get through this. And I felt feathers on me, y'all, and nobody else was in my apartment. Nothing else was in that room but me. I felt feathers on me, and I did not know this line was in this psalm. I didn't know anything in the word yet. So I know that he really does cover you with his feathers. That's a real thing, is what I'm saying, okay? Psalm 91 is known as the protection psalm for a reason. I saw a thing on, I want to say it was on Perry Stone, but it was on somebody, but it wasn't Perry talking, it was somebody else, but I think it was on Manifest. And this was a few years ago. And they had Psalm 91 written in Hebrew or something, and they showed these little spear-looking things coming up from these different words, and he went down these sentences like weapon, 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 and I was like, the whole psalm is a weapon. The whole psalm is a weapon. It would do any of us good to memorize the entire psalm. At one time, I had almost the entire thing memorized. I need to go back and memorize it again. So years ago, when my mother was remarried to my stepfather, Herschel, and they lived down in Centerville, outside of Centerville, Texas. He was a wonderful Christian man that she met at church. Wonderful person. Really good man. Sometimes we would go and visit, or if my husband and I at the time were on the outs, I would go and sometimes and stay with Mom and him for, you know, a few days. Every mealtime, Herschel would say Psalm 91. And I didn't understand the significance of that at all. I wasn't even saved back then. So I didn't understand. But I remember visiting, I think during a holiday. I think it was at Christmas or something. And I was traveling with the oil field. I was on the crew then. And I remember him saying that, you know, over grace and everything. And then my son was traveling with me. And he would just enroll in the schools at the different places where whatever town I was sent to work. Because we'd be there for months. And other people on the crew, their kids did that too. So we were traveling north. And we were just north of Woodward when this particular thing happened. And what was I driving? I was driving my crew truck, which was a two-wheel drive pickup, Chevrolet, I think, pulling a fully loaded enclosed trailer behind me during a very icy winter storm. And northern Oklahoma feels like you're in Alaska or something when that's going on. There was ice on the roads, okay? But there was snowpack too, and I was just trying to drive slow and everything. This was in about 1993, I think. So I'm driving along. My son's sitting in there. My son was 15 or 16 at the time. And some idiot in an SUV who's in a really big hurry and driving really stupid goes flying past me. I mean, flying. And I think I must have inadvertently jerked the wheel just a little bit, and my trailer went into a fishtail. You never, ever want a trailer to go into a fishtail when you are on anything slick. That is a very bad deal. Very, very bad. The bar ditches beside the road were really deep. I knew that road because I had been on it before. We traveled a lot of the same areas. We went back to the same areas during these different seasons. And we went to non-agricultural areas, you know, in the spring. In the wintertime, we would go and shoot seismic where they had the big commercial farms. So we were headed to Kansas, where all the big agricultural areas are, to shoot seismic during the winter, because that's the only time those guys will let you on their land. Because we're going on there with 40,000 pound trucks sitting down on a vibrating pad and compressing the ground. You don't want that on farmland. If you go in the winter, then, you know, they plow it up several times in the spring before they plant, and then it's fine. So we're traveling north on an icy road, and this guy who cannot drive, obviously, on ice goes flying past me. He had to be doing 55 or 60. I don't even know how he did. I told my son and said, we'll probably see him further up the road off in the ditch somewhere, you know. So the trailer starts swaying, and I'm trying very hard not to panic and not to hyperventilate because I know what that means. And I think I remember silently praying, although I didn't know how to pray. I was not saved then, but I remember my whole life, even when I was not saved, I would thank the Lord if I got anything that I really appreciated. And I would pray when something bad was happening. I would just, please, Lord, help me, that sort of thing. And of course, you know, my son's in the car with me. You know, if I had a wreck, that was going to be really bad. It wasn't going to be great for the crew either, but it was going to be really bad if he got hurt. So I'm doing this, and this is all happening in a split second, and I see two giant hands come down and take the steering wheel and straighten it out, and the trailer stopped fishtailing. The only thing I can attribute that to is my stepfather praying Psalm 91, where we had just been, the Psalm of Protection, because he knew that I traveled all the time. And of course, he knew that I drove in icy weather. But, you know, if I had to, I tried not to. But if they sent me somewhere I had to go, I couldn't refuse to go. And you always had only a certain amount of time to get there. Knowing what I know now, if I had that same job and somebody said, we're sending you such and such, and I saw that there was an ice storm on the way, I would be like, okay, well, I'll leave tomorrow when there's not an ice storm on the way, or, you know, or you can give this job to someone else. I would never, ever, ever risk my life for a job again like I did back then. So I praise God that my stepfather, God rest his soul, prayed Psalm 91 over every meal, because I am sure that he also prayed it over us, knowing that we would be traveling. Another psalm it will help you to memorize is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, that psalm. Because the Lord is your shepherd, and if you allow him to be your shepherd and to lead you where you should go, even when you don't know why you're going there. Y'all, I didn't know why he was sending me to Arkansas either. Then he will provide for you. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against me in judgment, I shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and my righteousness is of him. That's another one that would be very good for you to memorize, because that applies to any weapon of any kind. It can be a sickness that somebody sent it against your body, or the devil's sinning against your body. It can be a financial problem or job loss that has come against you. It can be an exposure to COVID-19. It can be anything. It's still a weapon, right? It can be slander. It can be a court case. That little verse right there, Isaiah 54:17, is worth its weight in gold. Psalm 140, deliver me from the violent man. That whole psalm is about being delivered from the wicked and God preserving you. So that's another very good one. All of these psalms and these verses are weapons, y'all. This is how you fight against anything in your life now, because you need to be using these now. If you use them now and you see how they work, you won't have any problem later on. In the end times, they work just as well as they work now. God's word is more powerful than any weapon on this planet. Can I just say that? I know many of you are out of work. The Lord does not need to bring you a job to provide for you. He is not on the paycheck system. We are. He took me out of work when he began setting me into this ministry back in 2009. I was scared out of my wits, I can tell you that. And I had an unemployment check for a while, and then it stopped. And it stopped suddenly. You know, that was back in the Great Recession, and they kept extending the unemployment, extending, extending, extending. And so I thought it was going to be extended again, and all of a sudden it wasn't extended. And it was like, oh my gosh. And there were no jobs. There were no jobs. I had looked everywhere. There was no work. I didn't know what to do. But God knew what to do. Anyway, you can read that whole scary story in the Wilderness Companion. And for anyone who's walking through a wilderness, I wrote more stories, little short stories about the wilderness in the Wilderness Companion study guide. You need to be studying to learn what you need to know to be confident in the Lord, okay? Because if you will learn this confidence in Him now, if you will let these things, these testimonies, build your faith, you will not be afraid or anxious going into the end times, because everything that works now is still going to work then. That's not going to change. Okay. I saw something yesterday. I was thinking about all of this. Some people start out with a really strong belief in Christ, and then later on they deny Him, like Peter did. But what is worse is when you believe and then your life denies Him. It's far worse. And many Christians do that now with the way they live their life. Oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Praise God. And then they're shacked up with people, or they're stealing from their employers, or they're, you know, doing all kind of other kind of sins. But in the end times, when everything falls apart, when the famine hits, when you cannot go to the store and buy food because there's no food to buy, a lot of Christians are just going to say, you know what, I'm just going to go get what I need. And they're going to start robbing and killing and doing all the things that the wicked people do. What's going to happen if your faith is small and you once lived in plenty, and then you're abandoned by your spouse because they married you for the wrong reasons, or you're abandoned by, quote, family members who were only loyal to the bloodline and the family legacy, but not to you? People abandoned by friends who were only, quote, friends with them for the prestige of being friends with them. Wealth will not be your friend in what's coming. Beauty will not be your friend in what's coming. I would not take $1 million to be beautiful in what's coming. It will be every man for himself in a time when money will not buy you what you need, because there will be nothing to buy. So when family and friends have abandoned you, when you don't even have a place to lay your head, when you believe in someone everybody else shuns association with on fear of death, what will happen to your faith? Is it really strong enough to survive all of that if it has to? If you will allow the Lord to refine you now, when He's trying to get you to give up something or lay down a sin or whatever, if you will allow His refining now, you will know what to do then. I want y'all to think back about what the disciples went through after Jesus was crucified. What did they go through? They were beaten for even talking about the things that He did. They were shunned by people. They had to move to other towns. They were constantly on the run, being arrested, being whipped. I believe that what happened in Acts is basically going to repeat itself. That was His, you know, when He first left. Well, when He returns, I think it's going to be a lot like that. Okay, I've got a word for somebody. There's a woman listening to this right now. You have been telling people that when everything falls apart, you're going to be robbed and all your stored food will be taken. You're afraid, and you're hoping that by doing this, by telling people, that someone will help you down to prevent that from happening if you tell them what's going to happen. The Lord says to you, woman of God, that it is going to happen, but only because you have declared in faith that it's going to happen. That's why, it's because you've said it over and over and you really believe it in these conversations. Now, if you want to stop it, you must declare His protection in faith over and over and over to override what your words have spoken into existence. Also, there's a man listening to this. The Lord says you have prepared very well for what is coming. You're a very wise man who knows how to do these kind of things. You want to be sure your loved ones are protected, but He says you have left one area unprotected. The Lord says, He says you have not protected one side. He said they can still come at you through the mountains. He said, look to the mountains and protect that side too. And He's also saying to tell you Psalm 91. So there's something about Psalm 91 that He wants you to do. Okay, not too long ago, this was at least a few months back. I don't remember exactly when it happened, and I failed to record it. I didn't type it on. I have a spreadsheet where I keep all my visions, and I don't have that one. But I had this vision. I call it the Rise Above vision. And it was about the end times. It was a very dark time. The vision was very dark. And I was going to these different people. And I was going up to talk to these, I was talking to these people, and I was by myself. And all of a sudden, this big snake comes at me. And I saw that I just rose up in the air and jumped over it and went on to the next people. And then something else came at me, and I rose above that and went on to the next people. And it was like if you were able to fly. It was kind of like if you were able to fly. And I thought about that. I was thinking about the other day, and I happened to think of Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I looked up mount up, and it means to ascend or to go up over. And so I wondered if I could substantiate that vision further with the word of God. Let me give you some scripture for what I saw. Isaiah 40:31 covers it, but there's more. Genesis 2:6. That word for mount up is translated went up in this one. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Genesis 19:28. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. But this one's the best. Acts 8:39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So that happened in Acts, and I believe it's going to happen again in these end times. I believe that we're just going to be moved from place to place to get the work done that needs to be done and to keep us safe until it's time for us to go. So instead of fearing what is coming or being anxious about it, I want y'all to start believing what the Word of God says. I want you to learn to be confident in Him, okay, and in His Word. And to praise God for His great mercy, because He is the God of all mercy. If you get anxious about the end time, just say, Lord, I just praise You, Lord, because I know that You're going to be very merciful to me. You are the God of all mercy. And I want you to realize that, knowing it is a very great honor to even walk in this time. We were specially chosen, handpicked by Him for this time, y'all. So we must have what it takes, or He wouldn't have chosen us, right? And I want you to hold your heads up, even though severe persecution is coming, and make a plan for how you're going to respond when it does. Y'all heard me talk about that on a podcast where we talked about severe persecution coming. And this was not long ago that we talked about it. In light of our very messed up election, well, this could start any time. I truly believe that the left has a plan to eliminate Christianity from this country completely. And I also believe with all my heart, based on the things I have seen and been told, that there is a coalition of nations, at least two or three, that is planning an attack on America. And they're just waiting for a weak moment to invade. I believe with all my heart. I don't know the details of that, so please don't email me and go, well, how's it going to happen? Because I don't know. I just know what I keep seeing and what I keep being told about all of that. And there's not anything we can do about this, because when a nation turns against God, part of the judgment is it is handed over to its enemies. Okay, so that's part of God's judgment. And God's judgment is righteous. We don't fight that. We look up knowing our redemption draweth nigh, and we keep doing what He's put us here to do. And we keep believing Him for His great mercy. Okay? So I want y'all to think about this, and don't let yourself get into fear or apprehension or anxiety about what's coming. Make a plan for how you're going to handle the severe persecution. Know that you are going to spend time grieving in the end times, because there will be so much death because of war, because of famine, because of pestilence, in addition to the things that already kill us. Okay, that's all I've got for y'all tonight. I hope this is a help to you. I really pray every single week for things to talk to you about that will help you to not be afraid and help you to get through what's coming. Nothing will help you more than learning these, like these different psalms and stuff from the Word of God and putting them into practice now. If you have children that you're afraid for or family members you're afraid for, you can pray Psalm 91 over them every day to protect them. It will not protect them from their own hand, but it'll protect them from pretty much anything else. You can pray it over yourself to protect you as well. You can declare that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, Isaiah 54:17. You can declare that the Lord is your shepherd, you will not want, Psalm 23. If you believe him, he will help you. That's what I'm telling you. But you've got to put your faith out there, and you've got to be willing to believe him and to stand on his word when there is nothing else. And if you will do that, then when there is nothing else, you'll be able to stand on his word. Jesus bless you. Thanks for listening. I hope y'all have a great weekend, and happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you heard? The 2016 and 2017 messages have been published in book form. Even those who do not profess a belief in God can see something is amiss in the world around us. What is coming for our world in these last days? What does the Lord want us doing while we're waiting for His glorious reappearance? Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night each contain approximately 200 prophetic messages and visions from the throne room of God telling what is coming to America and the world in these end times. The Lord has always warned nations when they were headed for destruction. He has always warned His own people. Are we also being warned? Get your copy of Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night, available now on Amazon.com. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write the Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax. If you ask anyone you know what the most difficult experience of their life has been, many will answer about a time of betrayal. All those called to walk the narrow path will at some point encounter Judas. How will you respond? Do you know how to recognize Judas when he shows up in your life? Can you keep Judas from bringing destruction to your life and ministry? How can you minimize what Judas cost you? Can you pass the test of absolute betrayal? Get your copy of The Judas Test, available in print and new audiobook, The Judas Test by Glenda Lomax, available now on Amazon.com.
Sold out for 30 pieces of silver? In Exodus 21:32, it is the price of a dead slave. In Leviticus 27:2-7, it is the price of a live one. Jesus was sold for the price of a bondservant. Precious Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings? Why did Judas sell his friend out so cheap?